I go but to the Lord. How many of y'all know that song? Boy, it's been a long time since we heard that sometimes. That's great. Thank you so much. Let's take your hymn books from the page 620. 620. Let's stand as we sing, Under His Wings. Under His wings I am safely abiding, though the night deepens and tempests are wild. Still I can trust Him, I know He will keep me. He has redeemed me and I am His child. Under His wings, under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Psalm 91:4 says, under His wings shalt thou trust. And of course, we know that this is a beautiful picture that we all understand how that a mother bird will gather its chicks under the protection of its wings. On the second verse now.
Under His wings, what a refuge in sorrow. How the heart yearningly turns to His rest. Often when earth has no palm for my healing, there I find, and there I am blessed. Under His wings, under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever.
On the last.
Under His wings, oh, what precious enjoyment. There will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe ever.
Sing it out now.
Under His wings, under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever.
Safely abide forever. God bless you. Good singing. You may be seated. It's good to see you in God's house tonight. What a wonderful joy to gather and bear one another's burdens. And there are several other needs that have been mentioned that are not even on the list here before us. And some that are going in for surgery and that kind of thing. Please be in prayer for one another and praying for our president and all of our government officials. This is a very remarkable time that we live in this day in which we live. And we're aware of so many more things because of the information, internet, and all that kind of thing. And it's frightening and it's scary sometimes when we see the things that are being allowed and things that are going on. Remember this, God is still in charge and He's still on the throne. And nothing takes Him by surprise. So we're praying for our government officials. Pray that they'll be saved. Pray that they'll be saved. And a pastor told me, he said he was talking about this election that just happened. And what a wonderful thing in Kentucky. A sold out, not embarrassed, born again Christian was elected to be governor of Kentucky. And he's not bashful about his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's a wonderful victory. So anyway, continue to pray for our country. Pray for the peace of Israel and our missionaries serving in the Middle East. Pray for upcoming elections. Sharon Crawford is listed here as in the hospital. Actually, she got to come home And she's having some rehab there at the house. Talked with her this evening. And thank you for praying for her. Keep on, if you will. Naomi Borland in the hospital at Sanford. Now, I believe that she is home. I believe that Naomi is home as well. So we're rejoicing about that. Spoke with her a few days ago, unless something happened just in the, just today that we're not aware of. So pray for her. Her heart rhythm is back in order and things, and so we're thankful for the Lord answering prayer in those areas. Nancy Deason's mother, Judy, praying about her jaw and a CAT scan. Helene Calabro is still having health problems. Craig Libby's mother is having difficulty because the doctor punctured a main artery while doing a heart cath. And pray for Stacy's father, still having some serious problems. He is back in the hospital. Got word last night that they were going to go in and have to do some abdominal surgery, and they decided that was not necessary for Stacy's father. So they were very thankful for that news. Tom and Fran Pouch are both having health problems. Please pray for them, if you will, and going through a very difficult time. Stephen Weems' father has serious health problems. Pray for him, if you will. I'm looking. I thought I saw them walk in, but I don't know if I did or not. Bob Williams is back at home from the hospital, and so that's an answer to prayer. And a 13-year-old boy was hit by a car while skateboarding. He's in the hospital with head injuries. Swollen brain and broken leg. So pray for Owen, this young man. Sarah Cole is still having health issues, but is back home now. Sarah is going door to door, knocking on doors for the bus ministry. I think she came home, and then the next day or so, she was out with Brittany's Lodgy, going out, knocking on doors, and helping to start that new outreach to children. Bringing kids in, so we're thankful for that. Visitor in services Sunday asked for prayer for her 89-year-old mother having a pacemaker put in. Gene Menig asked for prayer for his nephews, Mike with lung cancer, and Gary for heart surgery. Ray Buchheit had surgery this week. He had a biopsy. He's doing well, waiting for test results. So please continue to pray for him. The results so far have been inconclusive. And so they're praying about this, so if you'd please continue to lift him up in prayer. Good to see Mark Fleming here tonight, and John Twilliger. This is Johnny Twilliger and wife's, Amy's boy, has gone home from the hospital. Lucas is home. Amen. And doing well. Anita Boyd, pray for her, if you will, with the treatments that she's undergoing. Mary Butler, nursing home in Castleberry. Terry Shaw, Ruth Reitmeyer, and Jean Ann Godby, Rod Mills, Gary Sherrill, and Rick Elkins, Gary Moat and David Goss, Nancy Deason's father, LG, and her mom, Judy, Andy Floyd, Afghanistan war veteran. We're thankful for the answers to prayer about him. And then Carol Alderman and Lydia Buck, and all of these that are listed here, Steve Jacobs as well, and Lou Sukup's neighbor, Daryl, has cancer. And Stephen Van Ravensway, we mentioned him going to the cancer center in Atlanta, and pray for him, if you will. And then Miss Carrie Kondracki, our missionary to Romania, and the Vladimir Kruchin family in the Ukraine, praying for these two families, focusing on their ministries this week. And then these listed in the nursing home, and in the armed forces. Pray also, if you will, for Peggy Keebler. Peggy Keebler, and she is in the Deltona Care Center, health care center, and she is not doing any better at all. She had that massive stroke, and then it did not seem, although the tests showed, of course, that it was debilitating, she had full usage of everything. She had full clarity of thought, and she had full mobility, strength on both sides, and all of that. Her left side was what would be affected, and she grabbed me by the hand and squeezed my hand, you know, with her left hand. And she was doing so well for a solid week, went to rehab, And then all of a sudden, it just set in. And everything that they showed in the tests became actual in her body. And so she's having trouble swallowing and all of these kinds of things. Pray for Peggy Keebler, if you will. And she's a dear, dear lady. Pastor, if you'll come, please, sir. And I'm sure there are other requests, other that you have.
Did he call anyone to pray?
No, sir. That's okay.
Brother Fink, if you will, come lead us in prayer in just a moment. I want to thank you for praying for Voices of Victory while they were gone this weekend. We had an absolutely wonderful time, and I thank the Lord blessed. I talked to Brother Richard Wallace today. He said it was like Sunday was a turning point in our church. He said it was like we were revitalized. And he said it was just a glorious time. The young people did an outstanding job. I think some of you stayed around and watched them Sunday night. And then Brother Mark has asked that we do a concert here on this Sunday night. So Amen. The Voices of Victory will be doing a concert here. It will not be totally different from what we did out there, but it'll be live, and they'll be here and in outfits and all that kind of stuff. And I think you'll enjoy it. I believe you will. And so we'll have, I think, some pictures by Sunday. Will Daniel, are you back there? Will we have some pictures by Sunday? We do. We will. Whatever. They got the Texas experience. We went to Monday after getting out there on Saturday, and a lot of things to do on Saturday with the rehearsal and sound checks and everything like that for about an hour and a half. And then we went. And by the way, Southwest took good care of us. Southwest took good care of us. Lead mechanic for Southwest in Orlando. And I want you to know everything went smooth as could be. So smooth I slept. I mean, you know. So we got out there on Saturday, and then into the evening on Saturday evening, we were quite busy. And then on Sunday, of course, it's just, I told them, I said, okay, now, you know, we can think about other things some other time, but now it's time to go to work. And we went to work on Sunday, morning and night. And had a good time, got out of service and got in bed supposedly early. I don't think it really was, though, on Sunday night. I went to bed early. I don't think they all did. But anyway, that's okay. We got through it, and I didn't get any calls from the front desk. And that's always a good thing. And so Monday got up and checked out, got packed and loaded our stuff. And then we went to see the Cowboys Stadium, the AT&T Stadium there in Dallas. And then we went over to Fort Worth, to what they call the Stockyard. Now, some of you may have heard that, but I didn't know anything in the world about it. But a couple of times a day, they have cowboys on horses, and they drive these steers down the street. And it's just, you know, it's a real tourist trap. It really is. And Brother Wallace had, before we left the hotel that morning, he gave them all an envelope with a $50 bill in it. Mm. Oh, now, I'm going to tell you, some of them came home with $45. Some of them, all $50 was gone in 10 minutes. But, you know, that's all right. That's all right. And we'd just gotten out and started down to where the places we were going to go. And as a guy came up and said, what kind of group are you all? I said, well, they're a singing group. He said, are you the pastor? I said, yeah, I'm the pastor. He said, well, what do they sing? I said, well, I said, they just sing gospel music, sing Christian songs. And he said, well, will they sing for me? I said, well, sure, they'll sing for you. And so he said, what do you want them to sing? He said, oh, I don't know, Amazing Grace. I said, no, come on, be a little more creative than that, you know. And so I said, we'll sing a chorus. We'll sing a chorus that's just been elaborately done. Just give me oil in my lamp. So I said, okay, young people, here you go. And they started. They just started right there on the side, on the street corner. They just started right there. And so they just started saying, give me oil in my lamp, I pray, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. And they just started into it. And I walked over to him and I said, now, they'll sing until you tell them to stop. He said, really? I said, yeah, they sang for 40 minutes last night. I don't think he was into it for 40 minutes. So at the end of the first verse, he's standing there. At the end of the first verse, he says, and they just, boom, just like that. Boom. He said, whoa, that works. But the neat thing was, and I may tell some more of this again Sunday night, we were eating. Brother Wallace took us to eat at a barbecue place. What else? You know, Texas barbecue. And so we were at this barbecue place, and this waitress was waiting on us, all 20-some of us, 22 of us, something like that. And she got talking to some of the kids and found out they were a singing group. Of course, they're all dressed in same shirts and everything like that. Brother Christian got that all fixed up for us. And she said, would y'all sing for me? I said, whenever you're ready for us to sing for you, we'll sing for you. So a little bit she came in, she said, I'm ready. And so here we are in this area of the restaurant that's kind of outside, kind of a patio area. And I said, okay, young people, let's do Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And they started singing. And as they sang and went through the whole song, she was blinking back tears. And they finished, and she just clapped and clapped and clapped by herself, just clapped and clapped and clapped. She said, I don't know what to say. She said, I don't know what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting that. And opportunity opened to witness to her. And the other fella, interestingly, I'm sorry to keep you waiting, Ben, the other fella said to me, I said to him, I said, let me ask you a question. After they had sung and they started moving on, I said, let me ask you a question. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? He said, I'm a brand new Christian. He said, I teach karate. And he said, I have a bunch of kids that come to me from a Christian kindergarten that take karate from me. And he said, I saw the witness of these kids and their testimony for Christ. And he said, it was through those kids that I trusted Christ as my Savior. And he said, I'm a brand new Christian. He said, this is so exciting. And what a blessing it was. And, of course, other opportunities opened up. But I just wanted to share this couple of things with you. Helen Carlin is going to be having surgery tomorrow. Did you tell me, Helen? Monday? Okay. And this week she'll have surgery done on one eye. Then another week or so, and she'll have surgery done on the other eye. And she hopes that she'll be able to see so she can drive at night. I don't know how she's going to get home tonight. But I'm glad I'm not going to be on 1792. Is Angel doing okay? Okay, Angel, you know little Angel sits right down here with her mom and dad. Her mom's here tonight. But she was having difficulty, and it was just kind of strange the way I got to talk to her the other day. Yesterday, I believe it was. Yesterday or the day before. And the phone had called me, you know, one of those accidental calls. They called, and I called back, and she answered the phone. And she thought I'd just called. And her dad talked to me and said, I must have called you accidentally. It was the Lord. It was not an accident. It was the Lord. But be much in prayer for her. She was in very severe pain. Dale? Well, good. We called Dale and Cindy our fan club. They flew all the way to Dallas to hear us sing. Well, remember these ones in prayer. And I know all of us have prayers that are on our own heart. And if you do, would you raise your hand and someone around you will look and remember to pray for you as we pray tonight. Brother Fink, come lead us.
Don't we have some wonderful young people in this church? Okay, let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight. We have so many people here that are hurting and that need your touch. We ask, as the song we just sang, if you would pull them under your wing and let them feel your love and meet each and every need in each and every body. And we ask that you would bless this service. May you receive honor and glory of everything that's done here. In Christ's name, amen.
Page 779, some glad morning I'll fly away.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. By and by, I'll fly away.
On the third,
just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. By and by, I'll fly away.
All right. Okay, we have cards down here tonight. I don't know if Brother Mark mentioned them or not, but Sarah Cole, Sarah's here tonight. But it wouldn't hurt to write her and encourage her. And Ray, I don't know whether Ray is here tonight or not. I saw Laura, but I don't think Ray is here tonight. And then Sharon Crawford also has a card here if you'd like to write to one of those. I think there's two cards here, two each for each one of those. What's the song we're singing?
I'm So Happy, and Here's the Reason Why.
I'm So Happy, and Here's the Reason Why. I know that song. I didn't get an order of service tonight, and so I just caught a here out here hanging out. I know that song, though. I know that song. I still am rejoicing. As I was there in the 38th anniversary of Temple Baptist Church Sunday, and we did have a good service. Man, it was good. I've been there a lot of times. It's the best services I've ever been in that church. I mean, I was just me, or it was actually the service, but it was so enjoyable. And the Lord's presence was very real, and we had folks saved that morning, and it was just good. And I thank the Lord for it, and I'm still rejoicing in our 19th celebration here. It was just a good day. I thought the Lord was just with us in a very special way. And is it the Scansey family right here? Wonderful. Good to have you folks here with us tonight. I would assume that you're moved. Is that right? All right. Well, it's good to have you here. And I want you folks to meet these people. They've moved into John Knox Village over here. And some of you folks are from there. There's a lady turning around looking at you right there. She's from over there, too. And anyone else visiting with us tonight? Anyone else visiting with us tonight? All right, let's stand together and let's sing I'm So Happy. And here's the reason why. Jesus took my burden all away. Dennis, do you have someone visiting with you tonight?
Not together, but it's my niece Mackenzie is here.
All right, well, thank you for being here. All right, I'm so happy. Here's the reason why.
Jesus took my burdens all away, all right? I'm so happy, here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. Now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burdens all away. Once my heart was heavy with the load of sin, Jesus took the load and gave peace within my heart. And now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burdens all away.
All right, find one, someone to greet and say hey to them. Come down and get these cards if you would, and that'll be good.
Within my heart, and now I'm singing. I'm so happy, here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. Hey, now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burdens all away. Once my heart was heavy with the load of sin, Jesus took the load and gave me wonderful peace within my heart. And now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burdens all away.
All right, all right. When you find your place, you may be seated. And we have some announcements for tonight. So listen very closely. Here are the announcements for tonight. Journey.
Well, more than that, actually, and they're good things, good things. Now, make sure and see Jim or Joanne Westmoreland. They're right over here, and they have the tickets. I think that there are still some spots available for the Riverboat Dinner Cruise. And this is a marvelous time. It's a great event, $45. It's for the meal and the Riverboat Cruise, entertainment, and a portion of that goes as a fundraiser for the ministry there in the Seminole Prison and a jail ministry there. So if you would please support this ministry and have a good time doing it. The 16th annual on Saturday the 14th. And the time that the boat pulls out is 2:45, okay? So make sure that you're there way in advance of that. They put the gangplank down and let you board, I don't know, maybe a half hour before then, something like that. So if you don't have a ticket yet, see them tonight before they all get gone. And then this Saturday, there's a wonderful celebration, a wedding, Jacob Buck and Chrissy Streeter. Getting married, and that was Saturday at 3, and they wanted to invite everyone. If you can come, they'd certainly be thrilled to have you come and share the joy of this union this Saturday, 3 o'clock. And then thank you to those of you who have been bringing candy, purchasing it for half price or less. Stores have them for sale left over from Halloween, and they want to get rid of it. Well, we make good use of it because we make these candy stockings for our children who attend Journey Through Christmas. We're going to make 2,500 candy stockings, 2,500. So you can imagine it takes a lot of candy. So if you'd be so kind as to keep the candy coming this Sunday is the last opportunity because we're stuffing the candy stockings on Monday. Let's see, that's this coming Monday. So if you would please help us with that, if you wouldn't mind, that'd be great. And we do have these card holders, business card size advertisements for Journey Through Christmas. A lot of folks are using these. I've put them out at restaurants. And because it's in a card holder, they don't mind. It stays neat, and people can see it, and they take them. And perhaps if you take some, make sure and grab some extra cards. Go back in a couple of weeks and make sure it's not empty, and refill it. This is a wonderful opportunity. Tickets. I hope you have them with you. You reach in your pocket, pull them out, and say, "Hey, I'd like to give you a free ticket to Journey Through Christmas." And free ticket. So pick up some, have them in your purse, have them in your pocket, your car, and that kind of thing. It's a marvelous opportunity. They're going to hopefully go to the website, and you'll see the video and see the different things that are on there. And when they come, if they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're going to be hard-pressed to hear a clearer presentation of the gospel and a more definite invitation to receive Christ. It's going to be hard-pressed for them to find anything more clear and more definite and specific than what they're going to be offered here. So go up and down your street. You might say, I'm bashful. That's okay. Go up and down the street. Don't knock on the door. Just leave one of those in the door. You know, it's all right. And just leave one in the door, and you'll be surprised. If you give out 20, there might be two families that come, and somebody gets saved. I'll share this with you, and I told you that every service we'll try to give you a testimony. One of our young men that's serving in the cast this year, he's going to play Peter. His name is Edward. Edward was saved 4 years ago at Journey Through Christmas. And now he's in the cast, and God's doing a great work in his heart and his life. So those of you who were in Journey 4 years ago, there's some fruit. There's some fruit. So continue to pray much for this evangelistic outreach. It's not a show. It's an evangelistic outreach. And point people to Jesus. Thank you.
All right. Let's just come forward, if you will. We'll receive our offering tonight. Last Thursday night, we received an offering for the fundraiser that our police department here in Orange City is doing. We received a little short of $450, but we sent $450 to the Orange City Police Department. And I got a letter from them today expressing their gratitude, appreciation, and signed by, I think, four of the officers, one of whom some of you would know, Ken Jones. And Ken is a detective and loves the Lord and very involved in another good gospel preaching church here in the area. And we thank God for Ken and for what he does here in our community. But they were so expressive of their appreciation. Now, they're having a spaghetti dinner sometime within the next week or so to raise money. And I knew that they were trying to raise some money, and so we just helped them last week. This week we want to do something, and Brother Don Orser, who takes care of this, our, I guess you'd call it a missions board back here, but the list of our missionaries on this screen in the back, right at the video booth, and he hears from all the missionaries regularly, of course, as do the rest of us, but sometimes some things come to his attention. We have a missionary whose name I will not mention because we're on live stream, and you never know who might be watching, and sometimes people watch just for the very wrong reasons, and he's in a very precarious situation in a country that is very abusive to Christians, and some of the things that take place, of course, are not on our news. But they are absolutely horrible, and the way they are treated are horrible. I don't think it's ever been told completely how our people in Benghazi were treated and how they were abused before they were murdered. But he's in that kind of situation that's directed at Christians. And it's amazing the difficulties they have, and yet the cry of their heart is for Bibles. Bibles. Bibles, Bibles, and people in those Muslim countries wanting the Word of God. And so we're going to give the offering tonight to this cause, to this purpose. And so I hope you'll feel free to give that to that. And I think surely you would feel free to give to that. And we'll see to that the money gets there to the proper place and the proper channels. It's a missionary we already support. Though he's not listed on the website, of course, because of security reasons. It's a shame that things have to be like that, isn't it? But that's the way it is. And there are people who explore church websites to see if they can find missionaries that may be in their country that they can persecute.
Yes.
And that's a terrible, terrible thing. Father, I ask as we give tonight that we'll give liberally and with freedom because of the purpose for this, to get people who, even in the midst of suffering for the cause of Christ, there are others coming to Christ and others who have an interest in the Word of God and seeing what the Bible has to say. Use this money that we give in this purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the dark of the midnight, I've oft hid my face while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast and let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. With numberless blessings, each moment He crowns, and filled with His fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, oh glory to God, for such a Redeemer is mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and shelters me there with His hand, and shelters me there with His hand. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast and let me stand in the hollow of thine hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, Robert. Keep me safe till the storm passes by, and put that together with just venturing out and getting real creative, I'll tell you right now. All right, okay. Open your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we come to the last two verses tonight and beginning in chapter 3. And whenever we finish chapter 3, we'll have gone all the way through 1 and 2 Thessalonians on this journey at the little city there in Macedonia, really. And new church, new Christians. We study this, and boy, this is deep stuff for us. But man, we've been saved years and years and years and years. And here these folks are, they're just a few months old as a Christian. It's written directly to them. I just, again today, was trying to relate to being saved just a few weeks and having Paul have preached to you. And you got saved through the preaching of Paul, and then other people start telling you all kinds of stuff, and you just don't know what to believe, and it turns you every which way, and all of a sudden, Paul writes you a letter. He says, now look at here, this is what you know. You remember whenever I was there, I told you about this. Now you remember that. Don't you get away from it. Don't you get away from that. Therefore, brethren, verse 16, stand fast. Hold the traditions which have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. He put him right on the line, said, this is it. We finished up there last week. Now, verse 16. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now, verse 16. Now, even right now. Right now. At this point. Not only right now in the present, at this moment, but now at this point in the letter. At this point in my letter to you. I've written to you, praying for you, asking for your prayers for me, understanding those that trouble you. In verse 1, the persecution that you're enduring, what you're going through, the people that have brought these things to you. I understand also that I beseech you by the coming of Christ that you be not shaken, even though some people try to deceive you, even to saying that they are speaking by the Spirit of God and they have a letter from me. He said, don't be shaken by that. He said, let no man deceive you. And then he gives this explanation about the Antichrist, about who he is, what he is, how he operates. And we've looked at that in such detail. And after I've dealt with all of this, now, and it's like a prayer. There are some things that we come to in the Word of God, particularly in the epistles, that are like benedictions. Sometimes I say here in the congregation, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Kind of a benediction, a blessing. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding above, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh into us, to him be glory in the church, both now and forever. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. I'm just going through some of these. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. All of these things like this. And here, in those are generally stated at the end of the letter. But here, as he comes to this point in the letter, really about two-thirds of the way through, he says, now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Boy, there's no doubt about who he's talking about here. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the Lord. His name is Jesus. He's our Lord. He's over us. He's our boss. He's our one in charge. His name's Jesus. And he is indeed the Christ of God. He is the Messiah. All
my soul the full spectrum of His name here. Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's stated Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ Jesus. However it's stated. It is relating to that one and His offices. His earthly name here. His relationship to us. Jesus as the Savior. He is our Lord. And then, to the Jew, He is the Messiah. And to those of us who are not Jews, He is the fulfillment of all Old Testament scriptures concerning the one that would come to be the Savior, who is Jesus, who is our Lord. And He's not just Lord, but He's, watch this, look what it says. He's our Lord. He's our Lord. Black preacher from out in Los Angeles, his name escapes me right now, but S.M. Lockridge, that was his name. S.M. Lockridge. S.M. Lockridge preached on the Lordship of Christ. And he preached on the Lordship of Christ. And I've said it here before. But he'd come to this point where he'd say, I know He's the Lord. I know He's the Lord. But the question is He your Lord? Is He your Lord? Now, our Lord. Jesus. Our Lord Jesus. Who is in indeed, the Christ. There is clear identity of the one with whom we are identified. He is ours, and we are His. He is our Lord. Now, the next words in this verse. Some people take places like this, and they try to use them to contradict the teaching of the Trinity that is consistent all the way through the Word of God. Because it says, even and God. The Lord Jesus Christ and God. They say, well, they must be two different people. They must be two entirely separate personalities. They must be, here's Jesus and here's God. Well, what are you going to do whenever it says God and our Father? That's in other places in the epistles, in the Word of God. God and our Father. Now, it does not divide between them. It just brings them to an equal status, is what it does. Even God, even our Father. So, He's our Lord, He's our Father. He's Jesus, the Messiah. He's God, our Father, our Savior, our Lord. He's God. It's all one God. So there is no contradiction. There is no contradiction of doctrine. There's no problem with doctrine here. This is no misstatement by Paul. The Holy Spirit surely didn't make a mistake in giving him the Word of God here and giving it to him in this way. The Holy Spirit did not do that. The earthly manifestation of God is Jesus. God the Son, manifest on earth. We know Him as Jesus. But He's the Lord. He's the Savior. He is the living Word. He is God incarnate in human flesh. Nothing inconsistent about that whatsoever. These are one, and they are completely agreed in one. And this really is a strong expression of the oneness of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, as we're going to see in just a moment. Now, the love of the Father is assured in these words, and the Father is a participant in everything that Jesus has done. How can you separate the love of God from the love of Jesus? I mean, Jesus is the love of God, and Jesus loves us. And we know the love of the Father because it's expressed in Jesus Christ. And we say, God so loved the world. And whenever you say, God so loved the world, it's talking about the Father. And whenever it says, God so loved the world, it's talking about the Son.
And really, whenever you use the proper name, God, you're really speaking of all three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Some people have the idea, and they teach the idea, that whenever the Bible says the word God, it refers only to the Father. That's not right. That's very clearly not right. Those of you that studied through Hebrews and read through Hebrews 1 through 4, of course you're in 5 through 8 now, but in search of Scriptures, if you read Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8, unto which of the angels said he at any time, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Becky whipped that one out on a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses that came to the door the other day. They didn't handle it very well. They denied the deity of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And whenever it says that the Father says to the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, here you have the Father calling Jesus God. And there's no problem or contradiction in that whatsoever. It's easy. It's just natural. We are assured the oneness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father's love is assured here. God, even our Father, which hath loved us. Who's loved us? The Father. Well, does Jesus love us? Well, certainly He loves us. So here we have the assurance of the love. And hath given us everlasting consolation. You know, sometimes someone has a difficult time and you go to them and you can pat them on the shoulder and say kind words to them and comfort them and everything like that. And there's some consolation, but it doesn't last very long. You know, pretty soon they're right back where they were. But that's not the way it is with God. He has given us everlasting consolation. Consolation. Comfort. Putting us at ease, at rest. He's giving that everlasting comfort here. And good hope. Good hope. Now, I don't know what you would think of whenever you come to the word hope here, but you've got to somehow relate that to the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You've got to relate it to that, because that is our hope. And whenever the word hope is used in the Bible, it certainly is not just a wish. That's generally what we think of it as a wish. But it is not a wish. It is a patient expectation of a future event. It's just a patient looking forward to it. Oh, that's my hope. That's my hope. And it's a blessed hope. It's a blessed expectation that we're looking for. Now, the Father is part of that. The Son is part of that. And the Holy Spirit is part of that. So the Father has given us love, comfort, and a good hope or expectation that has to include the coming of Christ, the resurrection, all of those things. And He has done this through His unmerited favor. Through His grace. Through His grace is how He has done that. Verse 17. Now this is what we want to happen. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God even the Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Father, comfort your hearts. Now if He said that to people at Thessalonica, that certainly applies to us too, doesn't it? May the Lord Jesus Christ comfort your hearts. May He put you at ease. When? In that situation you're facing right now. In that difficulty you don't know what to do financially, physically, emotionally, family-wise. Just people walk through difficult times. Pastor friend of mine. I don't really know how to identify with this, but a pastor friend of mine I learned this week. He had a grandson who'd been missing for 2 weeks. His grandson's in his early 20s. And he's been in that culture that leads to that kind of thing and had to deal with certain things in his life. And he just evaporated. He's just gone. Today, they found him. Today, they found him. But even in the midst of that difficult time, in the midst of that difficult, and they found him alive in his home. In the midst of that difficult time, God gives comfort. God gives comfort. When? Till the storm passes over. Till the thunder sounds no more. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. That's what he's doing right here. Comfort your hearts. Comfort your hearts. Now, whenever he says comfort your hearts, the Holy Spirit is coming right into that verse. Because before the Lord Jesus Christ went back to heaven, he said, I'll send you another comforter. And he wasn't talking about a quilt. Okay? I'm going to send you one, a Paracletos, who will comfort you, who will put you at ease, who will give you peace in the midst of the storm. And that comforter is the Holy Spirit. And so here we have the ministry of all three of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of this he does is for your comfort and something else. Now, he not only comforts you, but he establishes you. Now, we don't use the word that way anymore. We say establish. But establish is a good word, to set you up to firmly plant. To firmly plant you. To hold you fast. It's like he said back up in verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Stand fast. Just be firm where you are. And this, he says right here, is what God will do. He will firmly plant you. He will establish you. He will establish you. Now, this is the thing that he's going to establish you in. If you look at this, you study this, you come through this, you have read through this first and second Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians, you've come to this point now. And he's using these things that are stated in the first two chapters all the way down to this point. He says, this is what I'm doing to show you. God's love, God's care, God's comfort, God's concern, all of these things that God has for you. I'm showing you all these things because he's going to comfort your hearts. And with that comfort, he's going to establish you. And here's what he's going to establish you in. He's going to establish you in the Word. The Word that was given to them. The Word that he's talked about in the first part of the book. Just a few verses earlier. I mean, whenever they read it in the church that Sunday morning, they knew exactly that Word back there that he was talking about. Establish in the Word. He said, you've become upset in the first part of verse two, chapter 2. He said, you've become upset. And there are people that have deceived you because they claim to have a letter written by me. I didn't write you any letter. You know what's mine. You know how to. You know what I say. You know what God's given me. You know the message. You know that. And what's in that message that they say is from me is not from me. Because it's not consistent. It's not what I had to say at all. It's not what God gave me. He said, I want you to be established in that Word. Now, we have a greater Word than they had. I mean, at the time they got this letter, the only thing they had was 1 Thessalonians. That's the only thing they had. They didn't have the book of John. It's doubtful in this new church that they had really any portions of the Old Testament scripture except what may come to them from memory, from the Psalms and from Proverbs and from the Pentateuch and so forth like that, and some of the prophets and the historical books. They've had some of that. But the only thing they have is 1 Thessalonians, and now they get a second letter. But he said, I want you to be established in that. Now, whatever you know of the Word of God, learn more of it, but be established in what you know of it. Not tossed about by every wind of doctrine, but established in every word, in every good word, and then in every good work. In every good work. A little girl quoting the Lord Jesus Christ in the upper room from the book of John, where he says, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send you another comforter. She misquoted a little bit, and I think it has an application to this right here. She quoted it in saying that the Lord said, I will not leave you comfortable. Sometimes we take the thing like that, and we understand the meaning when I'm saying it that way. Not leave you comfortable. Because sometimes we think, well, you know, I'm saved, born again, child of God. I got a good church to go to. I've got a Bible, you know, I can read anytime I want to. I got gospel music that I can listen to. And man, I can get on the internet and listen to the services of the church. I can watch live stream. I can do that. I just, well, pretty well kicked back, got it made, you know, just enjoyed life. No, he says, not just in the Word, comfort your hearts in the Word, but in the good Word. But in work also, that's part of it. You see, we're not saved by works, but Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10 says, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's the purpose for which we're saved. That's what he intends for us to do. Now, we don't all do the same thing exactly. But we all do work for the Lord. I mean, after all, He's the Lord. If He's the Lord, the whole idea of that thing is, the whole idea of the Lordship of Christ is He has others that work for Him. That's the whole concept of the term. He has others that work on His behalf and carry forth His orders and His commands and obey Him. That's the whole picture of it. So, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and given us everlasting consolation, good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. Chapter 3, finally, here He begins to wind down. You know, preacher says, I got 5 points. He comes to number 4. He comes to number 5. He may say, finally. And then he may have a couple more points under number 5. Somewhere about the middle of the book of Romans, Paul said, finally, and went on for about 6 or 7 more chapters. But he says he's coming to approach. He's beginning to wind this thing down. And as he starts to wind it down, let's just read through, if you will, maybe get a little bit into chapter 3 tonight. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you. There's that word again. Who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your heart into the love of God, and into the patient waiting for Christ. The whole theme comes back there again to the second coming for Christ. He starts the finish. Starts the finish. I guess that's an appropriate way to say it. You do start the finish. And he asks for their prayer, which we all need. Whenever, if I'm going somewhere to preach, other than here, and I say, please pray that God will bless. Now that's not just something that's supposed to be said, although it's supposed to be said. But it's not just said because it's supposed to be said. It's said because your pastor senses a real need. I assume your prayers here in this building. I assume that. But when I'm absent, I would like to assume your prayers also. And Paul said to these young believers, now I wonder the stature, I'm talking about the spiritual stature of these Christians at Thessalonica compared to Paul's spiritual stature. It's not like Paul's been saved 60 years. It's not like that at all. Now, he's not a newborn Christian. And he's certainly grown and progressed a long ways. And the Holy Spirit is using him and speaking through him. And here folks have been saved at Thessalonica. They're new Christians. They're going through a difficult time. Some of them are not doing very well. Some of them are not very standing very strong. And he has to encourage them. The Lord establish you. Be faithful. Stand fast. All these things. He's encouraging them to that. They've been washed, turned around, moved, blown about by every wind of doctrine. Somebody comes in, talks to them, and they're moved away and all this kind of stuff. And to those people, he says, now here's the Apostle Paul. And to those people, he says, pray for me. Pray for me. I want you to pray for me. And he doesn't really just say, pray for me. He says, pray for us. Of course, you know who he's talking about there. He's talking about Silas and Timothy also. He says, pray for us. And he says, this is how I want you to pray. He is bringing these new Christians into being part of his ministry. Last Thursday night, Nathan Kinoshita was here with his family. I was talking with someone this week. Some folks are going to start working on getting some kids to come and ride our little green van and come. They want to do that. And so they're working on it. They're going to do it. And I was talking to them. I said, now, it's interesting. First things. Whenever missionary Don Sisk went to Japan, he went to Japan, and of course, an old Kentucky boy, he didn't know how to speak Japanese. He had to learn that and had to stumble through that. I don't know how anybody learns it, but he began learning Japanese and finally began to learn to preach in Japanese and began to witness in Japanese. And whenever he first started that church there in Japan, there was a young man. A young man came into that church. He's really an ungodly young man. But he came to that church because he knew that there was an American who was there who had very good English. He didn't know Don Sisk or he wouldn't have said that. But that's what he thought. Here's an American. And he thought, I can work on my English by talking to this man. And that's what his motivation was. He wanted to learn English and work on his English. And he trusted Christ as his Savior. He was Don Sisk's first convert in Japan. His first convert. His name was Ogawa, Mr. Ogawa.
Mr. Ogawa began to grow in the Lord, and God did a work of grace in his heart, just like is described here in these verses we've been looking at, like it happened at Thessalonica. He studied the Word of God. He became proficient in the Word of God. He worked on the Word of God. And God called him to preach. And when Don Siss came back to America to be the International Director of Baptist International Missions, Mr. Ogawa took the church and became pastor of the church that Don Siss started there. A breakthrough church. A significant church in Japan. Now, last Thursday night, Mr. Ogawa's daughter sat right there. She's married to Nathan Kinoshita, and they are back in Japan. And Mr. Ogawa led Nathan to the Lord. What a great story. And he brings them into his ministry by saying, pray for me. Pray for me. What a humble and a wise man this is. This is a prayer, first of all, for his ministry. And foremost, for the ministry. He said, I want you to pray for us. And he says, I'm not asking you to pray that we'll be healthy. I'm not asking you to pray we'll have the money that we need. I'm not asking you to pray that there be no persecution. I'm not asking you to pray about that. I'm not asking that. This is my prayer. This is what I want you to pray for. This is what I want you to pray for. I want you to pray that the Word of God may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Now, he's praying. He says, I want you to pray. And what the word free course here is, that the Word of God will have free course. The Greek word for that means to run or to walk hastily without any hindrance. Without hindrance. He said it'll have free course. Whenever I was a kid, we used to make some kind of little boats and we'd float them in the little creek and everything like that. And you didn't have much control over them. But that every once in a while you put them in there and they'd get hung up in a bush or something like that, you know. You'd have to go over and take them out. And that's what I picture whenever I picture it. I see free course without anything in the stream to stop its progress, to keep it from going on. That the Word of God will be able to run, even as running water, to run smoothly or to walk hastily as someone would without hindrance. That there would be no hindrance to this. So he wanted them to pray for the proclamation of the message. A bunch of other things here I have, but I want us to get to this. The proclamation of the message. He wants them to pray for that. Even as it was with you. He said, whenever I was there in Thessalonica, he said, that's what we did. That's what we did. And I want you to pray. It'll be that way in other places. And then he asked them to pray for this. And that we'll be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. We should pray also for the message to be taken forward without hindrances and for the messengers to be delivered from hurt. There are those who oppose God and they oppose the gospel and they oppose gospel preacher. They are unreasonable. There's no reasoning with them. They are unreasonable. Literally, unreasonable there means absurd. this week, Tuesday, in Houston, Texas. They voted on an absurd proposal. And it had to do with equal rights for LGBT, lesbian, gays, bisexual, and transgender people. Had to do with that. But in effect, what it was, with all else that was involved in it, was that if a man got up on a morning and he felt like he was a woman that day, then he was going to go to the women's bathroom. If that day he felt like a man, he could go to the men's restroom. And if a woman got up and she felt like she was a man that day, she could go to the men's restroom. Now, that's absurd. That's absolutely absurd. Now, the polls in Houston, Texas, said that that measure, that vote, the vote on to allow that was going to pass by 5%. It was defeated by 29%. How can the polls be that wrong? Well, if I want an answer, a particular answer, then I'll ask someone who will give me that answer. That's easy to do. If I'm going to take a sampling poll of people in Orange City tonight as whether or not they believe Jesus Christ is coming back, how many of you would say, yes, I believe Jesus Christ is coming back? Then I would say 100%, according to our poll, of the 100% of the people in Orange City believe Jesus is coming back. Absurd. Absurd. Same thing's true of the governor's race in Kentucky. The guy won the governor's race in Kentucky is a born-again, pro-life, unashamed, born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had him losing. They had him losing by 9%, and he won by, I forget what it was now, just absolutely upside down. Absurd. Absurd. Paul said, pray that we'll be delivered from those kinds of people. I would pray that we'll be delivered from those kinds of people. And I don't know. But I'm going to tell you what. The people that are described right there in chapter 3, in verse 3 of chapter 3, I'm sorry, verse 2, they're all around us. And the most absurd thing about this is they think that it's very reasonable, that what they're saying is very reasonable. Those people who proposed that law in Houston, Texas, the amazing thing is they think that's a good thing. They really do. They think it's a right thing. They think it's a thing that ought to be done. And the people who voted for that, they say, yeah, that's good. That ought to be, a person ought to be able to do that. If a guy gets up and feels like he's a woman, well, go to the woman's restroom. They think that's right, and that's the most absurd thing about it all. Oh, well, I'll get off my soapbox now, but there it is. Let's stand together. That's the Word of God. Regular announcements for the weekend. Regular announcements for the weekend. And a little different Sunday night. Sunday night we'll be having the concert, My Voices of Victory. And since they're singing Sunday night, I ask Aaron to preach Sunday night. And so that'll be a little different. But it'll be a good time together, I think. You generally don't hear these kids sing a concert. And so Brother Mark asked if we'd do that. I said, why not? We just did it. We worked to get to this point this year already, and so we'll just go ahead and do it. Those of you who pray, for those who have requested prayer from the visitation tonight, Jenny has them around the back corner right back here. If you'd like to pick up a prayer request, whenever you pick that up, you commit to pray for those people for 1 week, for 1 week. And so until next Thursday, you pray for those people, okay? Father, thank you for this time together in your word. So relevant, Lord. So meaningful. And Father, as it was there in Thessalonica, so it is today. And Father, I pray that that we will be established, not just in the word, but that we'll be established in the work. And the comfort you give to our hearts will do that. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Give us a good day in your house here this Sunday, I pray. Everywhere where your word is preached. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.